is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to Making Headway on the URB Business Network. This is your host, John King, President of Headway Strategies Consulting, a strategic consulting and business coaching practice here based in the Boston area, bringing you today's show. Making Headway provides individuals, entrepreneurs, executives, and managers with information about emerging or current topics that could have a significant impact on their business and careers. At the conclusion of the show, a blog will be posted summarizing the show along with illustrative graphics and contact information for the host and in the event that there are follow-up questions from the listeners. Today we're going to discuss how to use a business coach to help you achieve your business and personal goals more consistently. In the studio today, we have an expert in this area, Sally Bell Davis, owner of Davis Consulting based here in the North Shore. Welcome, Sally. Can you give us a little background for the listeners?
I'd love to, John. I have worked in the financial services area for over 20 years, and recently I've been doing my own consulting. And what I've learned through the years, because I worked in learning and development, is how to help people grow and develop. And I also attended a program to learn how to be a coach. And with my experience and with my coaching kind of background, it's been really great working here in the North Shore.
Great, great. Well, as you know, I've done a little bit of coaching myself, and we have some different ways we've approached it. But I think maybe it would be good to start off with is to talk a little bit about what coaching is and what's not. When I first got into coaching, I think that one of the things that I learned was it was not consulting. It's not telling people what to do, and it's not therapy. I'm not certified in that for that particular point, but it's a process to help you develop a clearer understanding of where you are and where you want to go. And I think that's what you were saying before. Your experience in prior work has let you be able to do that.
Yes.
And I think that the other piece we want to try to do with coaching is help a person develop a stronger purpose in life and develop an action plan to map out their goals. There was a quote I read this morning that talked about that people get so wrapped up with writing down everything that they want to do that they don't have enough clarity to get anything done. So simple is better, is I think the better the way to look at it. So we'll try to manage that as we talk about that as we go through it. So the other thing about coaching is it helps you discover yourself, provide focus and support and encouragement to help you release your potential. So, Sally, some of your clients, and one of the questions I think people ask is, how old do you have to be before you get a business coach? Is this something you can do as a 20 or 30-year-old, or you have to wait till you're getting to be gray hair and you want a little bit more help in your business environment?
Well, I've heard about young kids starting businesses, and I think that the truth is that often they're getting coached. Maybe not by a professional coach, but by a parent or by a teacher or someone who's important in their world. So you're never too young to get a coach. You may be too young to want to pay for a coach, but.
Well, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. I have a young man that is in his mid-20s that I'm looking to start a coaching program with. And when we first started talking, I didn't think he would be interested, but it turned out that he really saw the need to develop goals and be able to achieve them more consistently with his work as he was trying to develop his business. So let's talk about the process of coaching. And I guess one of the questions is it's pretty structured. I think we have to have somewhat of a structured approach. What's your experience with that as to how you work with individuals?
There is a structure. And the structure always starts with kind of learning what it is that they need, where they are right now, and where they want to go. So that's almost absolute. Otherwise, you can't coach someone to get somewhere if you don't know where there is.
Right, right. If you don't have that understanding, and they have to have that understanding themselves, I think.
Yes.
And agree with what that assessment is. We have a tool that I use to help people understand where they are. It's an assessment tool. It's web-based. And I did one on a family member he was not as accepting as what the results were as what I thought they were. And I thought that what showed up with him was that he had certain tendencies, and he wasn't accepting of those tendencies. So it's a matter, I think, as you said, getting them people to understand what their issues are, or what not issues are, but what their makeup is and how they leverage that.
Right. And if he continues to choose to go in the direction where he's not strongest, he'll put a lot more energy into it than if he went in the direction of something that he's already talented and skilled at. It's not that he can't succeed. He just has to work so much harder.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I just talk about a process I use, and you can comment on it, is that one of the things we do with coaching is we, as you said, we want to try to understand who you are, and especially your attitudes and habits is what goes on. May focus a little bit on time management because that's important, and then also try to focus on what your life and professional goals, because those could be two different things. It could be divergent in trying to work together. I mean, your professional goal may be to, you know, if you're a baby boomer, you're a workaholic, you're going all the time, and you're not making any really time for life experiences in your personal life. And so you need to balance those things out. That's one of the things that we talk about. The other is really with the goal development and developing individual goals that they might want to work on, and then to clarify those for them and develop the action plan. And without the action plan, nothing happens with that. When I was in information technology, we used to say that nothing happens unless it's a project. Too many people would say, well, can you do this? Can you do this? And if you don't really set it up and define it, it doesn't get done. So that's one of the things. So what kind of results do you see out of it? I mean, in terms of your experience, I can share some of mine, but what are your experience with the results you get out of the coaching process for people?
Well, I think one result, as you said, is clarity, is that people know where they're going and they come up with a plan. So if you're looking at what the final results are, it really depends on what the goals were. So what usually happens is that they make progress to going where they need to go. And then sometimes they create new and different goals, and it may take them in the same direction or it may shift them and go in a different direction. But it's a choice. They're making choices rather than just letting things, the chips fall where they may.
Okay, I think that's important, and it's really up to them. I mean, you as a coach, you're encouraging, but you're not really directing, if you would.
No. You're not directing.
And that's a different from maybe some of the consulting concept of it, where you're directing somebody down a path. In this case, you're encouraging them based on what they said they want to do.
Right.
Not too different than a baseball or a basketball or a football coach, but working a little bit differently on more the broader aspects of their life and their career, as opposed to just their ability to succeed in one particular sport.
Occasionally, I've had a client who wants me to be very specific with them and work on the basketball, for example,
okay,
rather than the whole life thing. So it depends on the client what they want. If they really want – most clients want more than just business, you know, because their life is also important to them, their personal life. So they usually work on a bit of both.
Yeah. Well, I was doing some research on millennials, which is the group that 1980, born after 1980, of which I've got two of them in my family. But they tend to have a different focus than I think some of us in the baby boomers did, where we were focusing on really working and working and working and getting ahead. And they have a very big drive to make sure that they keep a work-life balance. And that's what you're talking about, is
yes,
the ability to have that work-life balance. And I think that's very important. That comes out of coaching. And I don't think you can really have a good coaching session unless you really try to work down that path on the work-life balance. But maybe in your case with that other person, they were just trying to get something squared away specifically.
Right.
And work on the work-life balance as a separate activity.
Right. And there was a corporation paying for it, and so the manager of this person was interested in making sure that the coaching was focused on the business.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. So he was trying to solve a problem he had with that individual with your help.
Correct.
Okay. And his help. Okay. All right. So I think some of the benefits that we see coming out of coaching are really a reinvigoration of maybe people chasing after the goals that they want to get. And one of the things that we do in the coaching process I follow is we focus on first a dream inventory where we talk about what are your dreams, and then you have to prioritize those. So I mean, clearly know, I think you and I've shared before, I'm not going to be an NBA basketball player because of my height, but I have other goals that I've developed, or the things I'd like to do, and that's important to be able to sort that out. And I think that prioritization is really important as you start to work through that.
I think the other thing, John, along that line is if you don't have a kind of vision or sort of a – then your subconscious mind can't be working towards it. And so I think you're right that if you put those dreams out there and make them a little bit clearer for your clients, then – as they're sleeping or as other things are happening in their life, they're still moving in that direction of that vision or that dream that you've helped them recognize.
I think that's an excellent point, yeah. We did an earlier show on making headway on time management, and there was a book that was written that talked about how to manage your life in 18 minutes a day. And you sit there and scratch your head and say, well, how do you do that? But basically what it was that you set up your life so you focused on things on a one-hour basis. So you think about that. That's 8 hours a day. You take a minute of that to kind of regroup where you are, decide where you want to go next based on the goals that you set. And then you spend so that's eight. You spend some time in the morning, a couple more minutes there, a couple more minutes at the end of the day to sort things out, and it totals up to 18 minutes. But one of the things that he brought up in his book was that that he developed really six area goals that he worked with. He had his personal goals, what he was for his life and his family. He had his business goals, what he was doing for development, and a couple, three, four others. And then the net on the whole thing was by having that grouping, he was able to bring clarity about the priority of the various goals he was trying to set. And I've tried that; it works. Works pretty well, and that you've got to. But you got to go back and look at it and say, well, what did I do today for those six goals? Did I do anything for those six goals today? And do I need to think about what I got to do tomorrow in order to make that work?
Right. I think I don't want to debate this, but the one thing that I notice is that people are really good at working on two things. If you have to work on six things, it's a little bit more challenging. So that I think on a day-to-day basis, you might be working on two goals. And the reason to recalibrate and look back at those full six goals is that maybe you need to shift between which of those six goals you're focusing on for that day.
Yeah, I think
or for that week.
I would agree with you that it's difficult to do that. And there's lots of talk about multitasking and how multitasking really deteriorates your effectiveness over time,
right,
as you start to work with it. So I agree with that. That's pretty important. Well, just let me talk a little bit about some of the tools that I've seen applied in the coaching arena. And one of the things you talked about early on was really the assessment. When you do the assessment, how do you make that work? And I have a tool that I use through a group called Intermetrics. And basically what it does is it measures the behavior, the values, and the decision-making for that individual. And it gives them a base point for them to look at as to how they really make decisions, what their values are, and really what their behavior is in certain situations. I find that to be helpful for a discussion point. It doesn't solve world hunger. It doesn't make it all better. It just says these are some things you need to be aware of. And I think one and key is a lot of times is people don't perceive how they operate in front of a group and then how they operate by themselves when someone's not watching. And so you could have somebody that, you know, in a group has to be very decisive and get everything done, but what it does is it stifles the group, and that really is really a coaching point where you can indicate to the person that they need to back off on pushing ahead and really consider the other, you know, aspects of the group, what the other concerns of the group are.
Right.
So those are some things that come up with that. When you do your coaching, do you do it over the phone or do you do it face-to-face or Skype or some other vehicle like that?
I haven't used Skype yet, but I have done it over the phone, and I do it face-to-face. So it depends on where my clients are and what their availability is and their style.
And how effective do you think it is over the phone versus face-to-face?
I haven't noticed that it's particularly different. So
okay.
I have a client that I've never met. I've seen pictures of him, but I feel like our relationship is very effective and the coaching is really working for him. So he comes back every year. So, and he pays a lump sum at the beginning and then he chooses when to use me. So it's kind of an interesting model. So it's not every month or every week. It's
well, but you're going off a set. Your calls are based on a structure you set up on the goals that you're
correct.
Trying to track and what he has done in that regard.
So when he starts having trouble with a goal, he often will call me and say, okay, we need to meet again because he needs to get back to that 18-minute kind of thing where he's really looking back at the goals and what's he's stumbling over so that he can come up with his own solutions.
Okay. Well, what other thoughts do you have on coaching? One other thing I wanted to talk about was transition. With the workforce going through a lot of, in general, people going through a lot of transitions nowadays, do you think business coaching is something that would help somebody in transition?
I think that I wouldn't necessarily label it as business coaching then. I would more label it as career transition. Getting coaching in career transitions, and I think it's enormously helpful.
Now, how do you differentiate that between what we call business coaching?
Well, some people don't really see themselves in the business world, but they're I have a lot of clients who come from foreign countries, and they get here and they were doctors or nurses or different lawyers in their home country, and they come here and they can't practice because they haven't passed those exams here. But they still want to contribute. And some of them are doing volunteer work and some of them are doing actual jobs, trying to get actual jobs. So, but they have to figure out how they can use their talents. And since some of them haven't been working for years, they've forgotten what they have and what they bring to the table. And because they can't be a doctor again, they can't see how they can add value. So it feels a little bit different. There's still the goal setting. There's still the calibration. There's still the assessment. So the process is the same. But if I labeled it as business coaching, they would not be interested for some reason.
Oh, I think that's a fair point. Yeah. I mean, that was what it's trying to get to. It's the same process, a little different name on it.
Yes.
Because of the nature of the beast. I think that's important because I think that, I worked with a couple people last year who were in transition and we did an assessment on them. And one of the things that we were able to point out was, here is the type of company that you might want to work in. The environment that really you grow in, and that you know causes you to bloom and develop, and here's the environment that stifles you. So part of that I think is helpful as you're looking at a new career or a new opportunity is to the type of environment and culture you're going into, because that's going to make a difference of how well you are able to perform your job. I think going forward,
right, it's very important. And you don't want them looking for jobs in places they'll be miserable in.
Right. Oh, that's right. No sense being miserable to be miserable, right? So I think that's important, and I think that's something that – I mean, it's a little different than the job placement activities you go through. I think if you go through a placement agency to help you recalibrate, I think this is more looking at you as a person and trying to figure out what you want to do and
yes.
go from there. And I think that's – at a point of transition, I think it's very important to do that. So we've covered a couple of different topics in this area. Sally, do you have any closing comments you want to try to bring forward?
Well, I think that it's really important to remind people of what the benefits of coaching are. And one benefit is that it gives people the space to really think and to really plan. And often people don't do that without a coach. So I think that's a really important thing to focus on. Is it important for you to move forward? And do you want to do it quickly? Because if you do, then a coach is a good idea.
Okay. Well, that's a good comment. Thank you very much for being part of the show this morning. I appreciate your time and appreciate your comments. So Sally, we can get to you at sbdavis@sbdavisconsulting.com?
Yes.
Okay. For those of you that can't listen to me that fast, I will put it on the blog and you can contact her that way if there's a question. You can reach me at jking@headwaystrategies.com, and that's headway-strategies.com. And I'd like to thank the guests for listening. And this is John King on the UR Business Network, reminding you to continue listening to Making Headway, because remember, we can help you make headway.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Sally.
You're listening to the UR Business Network. Broadcasting from Woburn, Mass.